What we take back to uni from this weekend is really important, okay? What we take back from uni this weekend is really important. As you go back into the rest of your year, we really want the things you've learnt this weekend to go with you. Now, why is that? Is it because we've spent time and effort on this weekend? The many hours in my office, I know Naomi's been doing lots all year for this. Well, we did, but that's not the primary reason. Is it because we'd love more of you to come next year on the weekend away? Well, yeah, this is a great place, isn't it? Come back here again. We'd love more people to come, but that's not the main reason why we want you to remember things. The reason why is because remembering what we've learnt this weekend is going to keep you going. And that is the big truth. That is the big thing in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. Because we need to know something as we go back to university. We need to know something for the rest of our Christian life until you reach whatever age you end up reaching. You need to know this. You need to know that we are in a battle. See, Paul is reminding the Ephesians, and he's telling us this too. We are in a war. And we're not in a war at the back of the line. We're actually at a war on the front lines. Have a look at verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. We've gone through the whole of Ephesians. We kind of jumped across it. We've seen some big things in Ephesians. But as Paul is winding up this letter, as he is thinking about licking that envelope, as he begins to locate the stamps in whichever drawer he keeps them in, he closes by reminding the Ephesians to be strong in the Lord. As he signs off this letter, as he ties it all together, he says, find your strength in God's might. See, if we're going to continue to live differently, remember that's the tagline for this weekend, well, we need to know how we're going to do it. It could be easy to think this is saying, well, brace yourself, you're now on your own. I remember when I moved out of my parents' house, that was what someone said to me. Brace yourself, you're on your own now, you need to cook for yourself. It's not fully true, is it? I mean, my parents then paid for meals at my university, so that worked. But that's not what this is saying. This is saying, if you look really carefully, it's all about who God is. In fact, you should translate this verse, really, be made strong in the Lord, in his mighty power. See, as you return to university off the back of this weekend, that is the thing to do. Remember who God is. Remember what God has done. Remember what we've seen in Ephesians. And be made strong in that. Find your strength in God's mighty power. Well, how do we do that? Well, first of all, we put on God's armour. Now, this is where I was going to pick on Ethan Cooper for LARPing and all the rest of the stuff he does, dressing up like that. But he's not here. I thought I'd still pick on him anyway. Lucy can tell him that. Tell him what he's missed. Have a look at verses 11 to 13, chapter 6 of Ephesians. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. We're talking about that phrase that you might hear, you might have heard before, spiritual warfare, this morning. Now, I wonder what you think of that. Do you want to turn into groups? Do you think we're in a battle? Do you realise we're in a battle? Why do you think we're in a battle? Why don't you think we're in a battle? Have a chat, that'll be good. Do you think you're in a battle? I mean, my experience tells me, well, no, everything's fine, right? In fact, I've talked to some of you about the book of Revelation over this weekend. The book of Revelation, its main point is to realise you are in a war. There's a war for worship going on in this world. That's what the book of Revelation is all about. And that's one of the big themes throughout the whole Bible. There is a war, there is a battle going on in the world. That's what Paul wants us to remember here. You see, our experience is kind of like one of these mirrors. You can't really see things clearly. Paul is telling us what we need to know, what we need to see. Reality, really. He wants to change our minds about this fact. He wants us to be prepared. You're only prepared for a fight if you know the fight's coming. He wants you to stand firm. And that's why he says here, put on the full armour of God. You can see that twice. Verse 11, put on the full armour of God. Verse 13, put on the full armour of God. This section is about putting on the full armour of God. That is what we need to do as we go back to uni. But what does that actually mean? I've been in so many talks where someone says, put on the armour. And then they don't actually explain what that means. Have you ever had that? Let me make a promise. We're going to try and explain that this morning, okay? Hold me to that. Let's not have that happen again this weekend. But in order to understand it, we first of all need to look at what the armour is defending against. Have a look at verse 11. The armour means that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes, against the devil's techniques, against the lie that we've seen all this weekend. The warped mirrors, the ringleader, the divider. If we're going to do that, if we're going to stand firm in that, we need this armour. Now, it could be tempting to think that this war, this battle is against people. People here and now. The student union who's not going to let you do your events week this year. You're not allowed a marquee. Oh, not again. The politician who's trying to shut down free speech. I mean, you get that all the time on the news, don't you? The lecturer who laughs at you because you're a Christian. How stupid you are. No, this war is far bigger than that. Verse 12, Paul is explicit here. It is not against flesh and blood. Now, this is a spiritual battle. That does mean it's an invisible battle, yes, but it's still a real battle. It is an immensely real battle. Verse 12, it is against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world. It is against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You see, they want you to fail. They want you to give up. They want you to move, to budge, to be knocked around. But they're also the powers that have already been defeated. Do you remember chapter 1? When Christ was raised, he was raised from the dead, seated at God's right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet. That's a kind of conquering language. If you're in the Old Testament seminar the other day, that's Psalm 2, Psalm 110. God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church. Do you see those spiritual forces? They have nothing, absolutely nothing on what God has done. And that is where this passage places the focus. Remember verse 10, be made strong in the Lord, in the strength of God's might. See, don't forget what God has done. Don't forget the power that God has for the church. Don't forget that Christ is already reigning and that nothing is going to stop that. There's nothing out there that can knock Christ off his throne. Nothing at all. But we do need to get that this is a fight. We'll have a look at verse 12. The word there, struggle. This is a struggle. This word for struggle, it's used for hand-to-hand combat. Is anyone into hand-to-hand combat here? It's between two of you, isn't it? Hand-to-hand combat is between two people. It's a wrestling. It's close quarters fighting. It's one-on-one. What do these powers want you to do? What are they aiming to do? Well, what they want you to do is to give up on what you know. Give up on what you know about God. What Ephesians has been retraining us to see this weekend. Those powers, they want to put those warped mirrors back in place. They want to make you give up on Jesus. They want to make you give up on the gospel. If, as we've been saying all weekend, the gospel, if knowing your identity enables all the good stuff to happen, that stuff we saw in chapter 4, then of course the devil is going to want you to stop that. Of course he's going to want to send his minions to prevent you from making that happen. I mean, we know that from experience when we think about it. No wonder the Christian life is hard. How easy it is to give up on understanding God's word, to stop putting the effort in to read your Bible. I don't know about you, but I've had this. You start to read God's word, you make the deliberate attempt, I'm going to really get into my Bible. And all of a sudden, the amount of distractions goes woof. So many distractions come in, even more than you ever had before. You see, it's a battle. There is a real battle involved in knowing Jesus. But the good thing is, the good news is that God arms you for that conflict. He doesn't just give you stuff to do. In fact, this passage tells us he gives us his armour. He gives us his armour that has already proven successful. In fact, as you read through the Bible, this armour is Jesus' armour himself. Okay? The very armour that Jesus had and succeeded with already. We know this is well-worn, tried, tested armour. And so Paul says, stand. Stand. When do you find it hardest to remember your Christian identity? When do you find it hardest to keep going for Jesus? Just share with the person next to you. Have to go. There are all sorts of times, aren't there, that we find it hard. Those things that we've just been mentioning, I'm sure what you said, someone else took on, yeah, I agree. There's all kinds of things, all sorts of things that make it hard to keep going. It'd be really worth our time, in fact, we'll do this a little bit later, thinking about how to address that specific thing we've just mentioned. It'd be really worth thinking, how can I address that moment, that thing that makes it really hard for me to remember as I go back to uni? But the way to address them in this passage, the best way to address them is to put on this armour. Now, I'm still answering what this armour is, so don't worry if you think we've missed it. Paul is going to get to this now, okay? This is what the armour is. Have a look at verses 14 to 20. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. I mean, that armour, it sounds impressive, doesn't it? It sounds powerful. And as I've said earlier, this is the armour of Jesus. This is the armour of Jesus that's already been shown to be successful. Every part of that armour is the gospel. Just notice how the armour is all gospel related. The thing we've been seeing, the truth we've seen this weekend. Firstly, the belt of truth. You have that buckled around your waist. The truth in Ephesians is the gospel. The truth that counters the lie. The truth that shattered those mirrors back in chapter 1. The truth that comes from being alive. Not like flowers cut off at the roots in chapter 2. The truth from chapter 4 that it lets you live as God intended. Fasten that around your waist, Paul says. The breastplate of righteousness in place. That breastplate, it comes from being made right with God. That is what righteousness is. You're right in God's sight. It's a nice little rhyme. Being made right with God. See, that comes because Jesus died the perfect death in our place. So that every sin, no matter how big or small, is paid for. So that before God Almighty, the creator of the universe, we are seen as right. We are friends with God again. We no longer stand as his enemy. Shoes fitted with readiness. Where does that come from? Well, it comes from the gospel of peace. Shoes that are ready to take that gospel out into the world. See, as we arm ourselves up with God's truth, we're arming ourselves up to share that truth. As we speak to our friends, as we speak to our classmates, as we speak to our families about that truth. If, as Ephesians has said, that truth is the only thing that counters the lie, well, of course, we want to share it with our friends. As Lucy was saying, it's an act of love, isn't it? When we really grasp the truth, of course we're going to want others to know it too. We don't want people to keep living a lie, do we? So we put these shoes on and we go as we seek to tell them the reality that really is. Now you take up the shield of faith. Do you notice it's the shield of the faith? The shield that knows that the gospel is enough. That in the gospel, everything you need to stand against the evil one is there. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there, the one who paid for my sin. The one who has paid, and there is no more to pay. See, as you're reminded, I'm sure you get reminded all the time that you're not good enough. When you're reminded that you just messed up again, you hold that shield up. You hold that gospel close and you say, Jesus has done everything I need. And you take the helmet of salvation, or you could say the helmet of being saved. The helmet that comes from the cross, knowing that on the cross, Jesus bought every spiritual blessing, that we are saved. We have salvation to live with him and live for him. And the weapon. Do you see there's one weapon, there's one offensive thing here in the toolkit. That is the sword of the Spirit. What is the sword of the Spirit? We're told here, aren't we? The sword of the Spirit, that is the word of God. The word of God that tells you the gospel. The word of God that tells us that Jesus is reigning over everything. That word of the gospel that says Satan is done. The gospel that tells us the way things really are. You see, the armour is the gospel. You could say, put on the gospel. Put on the armour. Put on the good news that we've seen this weekend. Let's just underline that. Let's make sure that we've got that 100% clear. Paul says, if you're going to stand firm in this war, if you're going to stand firm as you go back to university, you need to buckle, to place, to fit, to take up, to take, to put that armour on. If you don't put that armour on, you're not going to stand. You need to clothe yourself with the gospel. You need to immerse yourself into the gospel. You take off those old clothes, those things you can't believe you once wore, and you put the gospel in their place. And you pray it as well. Did you see prayer comes up there as well? Verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. All kinds of prayers and requests. There's nothing you can't pray. See that? What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Well, it means this. It means praying in light of the gospel. Pray in light of the gospel that God has revealed to you. That God has revealed to you through the Spirit, as we've seen in Ephesians. I mean, that is what Paul prayed back in chapter 1, verse 17. Pray in the Spirit who gives you access to the Father, chapter 2, verse 18. Pray to God who lives in you by his Spirit, chapter 2, verse 22. Pray that yourself, you would be reminded, that you would know, that you remember those things. And let me tell you this, here's a promise in the Bible. The Spirit would love to do that for you. The Bible says that is what the Spirit loves to do. He would love to do that, to help you remember that gospel. So take him up on it. And don't just pray for yourself, pray for others too. Do you see how even Paul here says, please pray for me. So you're not a lone fighter. We are in this battle together. So pray for all the saints. That is all Christians. Pray for all the Christians you know, everyone you know, that they would fight this battle well. Pray for each other here, that you would proclaim the good news to others. Pray for boldness for each other as you go back to uni, as you keep on pressing forwards. It'd be great to think about this question here. What could you do to encourage yourself and the others in light of what we've seen this weekend? Let's take a few moments just to think. What things could you do? Proper things you could do. I'd love those conversations to keep going over lunch. Just keep them going. But I've kept my promise. Are we happy now? I've kept my promise. I've explained what the armour is. It is the gospel. Tick. But how do you actually put that gospel on? I mean, I got a new pair of trousers out the wardrobe this morning. It's not like that, is it? It's not like putting on clothes every day. No, the way you put this armour on is you immerse yourself in that truth. You immerse yourself in the gospel. You preach the gospel to yourself day by day. You sing that gospel. That's why singing is so important. We ever thought why singing is so important? It's because we remind each other. We sing to each other. We hear each other telling the truth of the gospel. We speak the gospel to one another. We speak the truth to one another regularly. What does that look like for students? What does that look like for you? Well, that looks like going to Equip, impact groups. That looks like meeting up together. That looks like being part of a local church. That looks like taking every opportunity you can to hear that gospel message. That means putting yourself under good, faithful, true Bible teaching. Teaching that actually opens the Bible up. to hear more and more of those great truths of the gospel, to hear reality as it really is. One of the great things with these gospel journals is you get to keep them. You get to put them in your bookcase. I'd encourage you to take the notes you've taken this weekend and go over them again. Read the bits of Ephesians that we haven't managed to cover this weekend. In fact, find someone to do it with. Pick someone right here, right now, and agree to read Ephesians with them. That's a real thing to do. Right here, right now, pick someone that you're going to read Ephesians with. Set a reminder on your phone. Go on, do it now. Get your phones out. You're allowed to get a phone out while someone's speaking. Ooh. Set yourself a reminder on your phone. Open Reminders or whatever the other app's called. Set a reminder on your phone right now of something you want to be reminded of from this weekend. Set it off to go next week sometime. Something you've said. Perhaps set it up as a repeated reminder. Make it go off every week from now on. Something you want to remember. Something you are tempted to forget. Just set something in your phone now. And when that reminder goes off, text it to someone else here too. In fact, even text it to Naomi. Because Naomi needs that gospel encouragement as much as the rest of us here. I would say text it to me, but you haven't got my contact details, so. But yeah, I need it too. I need to know the gospel as well. Every Christian needs this encouragement. We need to be reminded of this gospel daily. And you here are in a very specific, a very special opportunity to share that with each other. See, the Christian life is a battle. The Christian life is a struggle. There are many things that are trying to knock us off course the whole way. But we do have the strength we need. We have the armour of the warrior king. We have the power of God on our side, the same power that raised the Lord Jesus from the dead. The same power that's at work today in us who believe. So my final words to you, the last of Dave. Storm on us, isn't it? The last of Dave. The last thing I want to say to you, as we come to the end of this weekend, keep going. And as Paul says here, stand firm in the gospel. We can only do that through God's strength. Yeah? So can I pray for you? I'm going to pray using Ephesians chapter 3, which you'll see Paul is explaining as we go through. But let me pray Ephesians chapter 3, 16 to 21 for all of us here. Heavenly Father, I pray that out of your glorious riches, you may strengthen each of us here with power through your Holy Spirit in our inner being, that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith. We pray that being rooted and established in love, we may have power together with all of God's people to grasp just how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be all filled with the measure of the fullness of God. Father, we know how hard it is to be a Christian. We know how hard it is to keep going. We know how many temptations and things there are out there. But we pray to you because you are the one who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to your great power that's at work within us. So, Father, we give you all the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. It'd be great to carry on those conversations from earlier. There's the questions up on the screen. Let's go back into who we were talking to earlier. If you haven't set a reminder on your phone yet, I really encourage you to do that now. Let's have some time discussing, shall we? Let's go.